Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
I'm chatting with Hotesh Bhadrai. He is Chief Investment Officer and MD, South Africa at Flow 48. Hotesh, appreciate the time today. SME funding, it's always hard for small and micro enterprises. Do we have any idea of the sense of how many SMEs are able to get funding as required, and what sort of shortfall we have in the country in terms of SME funding?
Simon, thank you for having me on your show. To jump in straight into your question, it's quantified as about 550 billion rand as a funding gap in South Africa, which means that there's a huge demand for capital by SMEs in South Africa, but they're just underserviced.
Yeah, and that is a giant number. And how much, I mean, traditional financial services, and here I'm looking at the big banks and the like, I mean, they're not sort of geared for this sort of thing, particularly with an SME. You know, they want a long track record, or they want a lot of collateral or something like that. Are they sort of trying to come to the party, or are they sort of still struggling in the SME space?
There is signs of them moving and progressing their business models, as well as their risk methodologies and how they assess risk. I mean, SME risk is very asymmetric, which means that you can't really rely on historical financial statements and so on. And I think fintechs have made significant progress in that regard by utilizing alternative data to get a good indication of what the risk profiles of businesses are. And because the fintechs have been around now for more than 10 years globally, banks are actually starting to evolve how they do business and potentially partnering with fintech. So yes, you are seeing a bit of transition, but it's nowhere near to make a dent in the $550 billion rand gap.
Yeah, because that is a giant gap which needs a big dent. You mentioned fintech. I mean, I'm imagining there's a lot that can be done with fintech. More recently, of course, we've had AI coming to the party as well. But fintech's been around, I mean, as you say, a decade or so. And there's a lot that they can do in this space to sort of make it easier for the SMEs and frankly, for the lenders as well.
100%. You know, AI is a trend that's, I think, it's on everybody's lips at the moment, and it does definitely improve the ability to firstly aggregate data and analyze the data to make sense of it and understand exactly risk profiles. And yes, we're doing that. We're trying to, you know, to pull various data sources like POS data, data from enterprise management systems of businesses and so on. And that does improve your insights. It doesn't replace necessarily the more fundamental analysis, but yes, it has had a big improvement in how you understand something like the SME risk.
What about things like, and I was having a look around, something like a revenue-based finance. So what's this and how does this work? This, you know, almost sounds like a point of, I mean, to your point, the point of sale can give you a sense of what that is. What is revenue-based financing?
Great question. So that's essentially what we do, revenue-based financing. And the great example is point of sale. So we work with merchants to understand the transaction volume that is moving through the point of sale provider. And that gives us an indication of the revenue of that business, at least just to that point of sale provider. And we are able to then take a credit decision just purely off that POS data. And the reason for that is we also do something called collections at source, which means that we take a risk. So let's just say, for example, we get an understanding of a business and it's generating R1 million through that point of sale provider. Mm-hmm. We lend that business 200,000 rand and we do collections at source, which allows us to collect before the revenue is passed on to the merchant by the point of sale provider. And that process de-risks the entire underwriting.
I take the point. Absolutely. It de-risks. The other thing is invoice financing. I'm not sure if you're doing that, but I mean, it is one of the challenges. I mean, particularly, you know, if you're doing retail, then typically your cash flow is coming in. But oftentimes you're doing services or something. You've done the work. You've done the invoice, but you might not get paid for another month. And cash flow can kill a company as quick as lack of funding.
Yeah, a month is conservative, Simon. So, you know, what you find is what you've described and what you've set up is exactly accurate. You find a lot of SMEs become providers, and we specialize in especially where they're providers to corporates. Mm-hmm. And so let's just say an example would be Pick n Pay or Checkers. But traditionally, corporates give the SMEs payment terms in excess of 60 days, which creates a cash flow constraint. So they come to us, they show us the invoices, we verify the invoices, and we monetize up to 80% of the face value of the invoices, which unlocks cash for the business itself.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally seen a business that has invoices but can't survive. They can't pay their bills because those invoices, as you say, 60, sometimes even 90 or 120 days. My sense chatting to you, 550 billion rand is a giant size shortfall. But that certainly banks are coming to the party and fintech is coming to the party, and that we probably are making some dent in that number.
We are. I think that in South Africa, we're operational in multiple jurisdictions. So we're operational in Dubai as well as South Africa. Mm-hmm. In South Africa, we have a more sophisticated financial ecosystem, a longer track record of alternative lenders operational in the country. And I think that you've seen growth. You've seen growth of really big, reputable alternative lenders. But there's still so much of space relative to that gap for further growth. I think that whilst there is good progress and you've seen great establishment of alternative lending in South Africa, there's still a long way to go.
Is there almost a sense of understanding? I mean, I often, and it's a completely different side of it, but I chat to people in private equity and they talk around, it's about understanding the businesses and it's not a one-size-fits-all. And again, the technology enables it to be more bespoke and more unique to an individual business's needs. Some businesses don't need invoice financing because, as I said, they're a retailer. That bespokeness, is that another aspect that we can really use fintech for?
We can. I mean, our products are fairly standardized.
Yeah.
Up to a certain threshold, probably the business outgrows a specific product structure. What we are seeing, for example, so for a certain segment of the market, what we offer as products, it's still very relevant. The commercial opportunity is mm-hmm. quite significant, and there's a big problem that we're solving. But beyond a certain segment, if you look at middle market businesses with revenues probably closer to up to 1 billion rand, mm-hmm. those businesses are still very unserviced by the banking sector as well. And there you need a lot more structured products itself. So it just depends which segment you're targeting.
Yeah, no, I take your point. It is, there are going to be different ways to do it in the different spaces. We'll leave it there. So Tesh Bajoy, he's a Chief Investment Officer in MD South Africa, Flow 48. Appreciate the time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.